just like any other boy. And he never had no trouble till he started up his oi band. Safe in the garage, singing in the tub, till Hardy went too far and he plugged in at the club. It was a cold Christmas Eve when Trevor and the Skins popped in for a pint and then nick a bag of crisps. Trevor liked the music, but not the unity. He unwound Hardy's turban and he knocked him to his knees.
The clock came down on Christmas Day. I know exactly what he said.
He'd say, oi to the Pops and oi to the Skins,
but oi to the world and everybody wins.
Hardy was a bloody mess, he ran out through the crowd. He said, we'll meet again, we are bloody dead and bowed. Trevor called his bluff and told him where to meet. Christmas Day on the roof down at 20 Oxford Street.
The clock came down on Christmas Day. I know exactly what he'd say.
He'd say, oi to the Pops and oi to the Skins,
but oi to the world and everybody wins.
The guy on Indiana Jones.
Police started wailing, a bloody dying man. Hardy was alone and abandoned by his band. Trevor was still fading and still so full of hate. When the Skins left him there and went down the fire escape.
Hardy saw the North Star shining more than ever, so he made a turn again from his turret, saving Trevor. He repelled on the roof with the rest of the turban and went back to the pub where they fought each other coming.
The guy came down on Christmas Day. I know exactly what he'd say.
But I kill the world and everybody wins.
If God came down on Christmas Day, I know exactly what he'd say.
He'd say, oh, to the pumps and I to the skins, but I kill the world.
This is James from TheRoyalPunks.com. And this is Couch Potato Mike, his loyal sidekick. And we're wanting to wish everybody out there a very Merry Christmas this year.
Yes, very Merry Christmas to you too,
our
co-host
first,
Mike.
Our first Christmas special.
Our first Christmas special.
And in honor of that, because Christmas is a time to be with the ones you love, for the first time ever on Survival Punk, I've got my whole family here with me. I've got our producer, producer Mike's wife.
Hi.
And I've got our executive producer Mike's daughter, Fiona.
Hi.
And I've got our gaffer.
Hi.
My son, Logan. I think that means he's the electrician.
The electrician, yes.
Okay, well, they're all here. They're going to be sitting in with us for a little bit. Honestly, this is flat out my favorite holiday of the year, and I know it's kind of cliche to say that about Christmas, but it just really, really is. I love this time of year so much.
Yeah. This one's actually kind of snuck up on me, like, because I've been so busy with the tiny house. It's on the recording of this, it's 5 days from Christmas. 5 days from Christmas.
That's five golden rings.
Five golden rings, yeah. Wow.
Bling, bling.
Yeah, so thanks, Mike, for being here with me for almost a year of Survival Punk Podcast.
Well, thank you for having me on, bro. We couldn't have done this. I don't think we could have done this without each other.
No.
I'll be honest, I wouldn't want to hear a show that was just you. You need the melodic overtones of my
my comedy co-host?
Yeah, you need the sultry sounds of my voice.
The sultry sounds of your voice.
Absolutely.
All right, so what do we got coming up today on this very special episode? You'll notice that we have skipped our advertisers for now.
For now.
And the show format will be a little different, but not quite so different. Not like with the Thanksgiving special was just a short, very short.
Our shortest episode ever.
Yeah, which is hard because we're quite verbose and we tend to get gabby on the shows.
Yeah, we're quite garrulous in the company of thieves, as they say.
Well, actually, what does that mean? You said that recently.
What, garrulous?
It in means the company of thieves, the whole phrase. What does that mean?
Verbose, effusive, loquacious.
Yeah?
Chatty. Garrulous basically just means chatty.
Okay.
It's a line that I've been using from the movie Con Air for years now.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that movie. It has nothing to do with Christmas, though, so screw it.
Yeah. Use that to describe a coworker of yours you wanted to set me up with, and it is not true. She is not garrulous at all.
I find her quite chatty.
Yeah?
Once you actually get her going.
Okay.
Which happens when you usually say hi to her.
Yeah, maybe just not on the phone.
Maybe not.
Or at least in the text massage.
Any. No text massaging on our Christmas special. Okay, so coming up on today's very special episode, our very own Survival Punk is going to be reading a story by the. A classic story by O. Henry.
I believe is fine to read on air, being that it was in an open source project, Project Gutenberg. I severely doubt Mr. O. Henry or his family will be suing me for this podcast that six listeners listen to.
Yeah, it's called The Gift of the Magi. I'm going to be having the opportunity to read to my loving kids, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, which has always been one of my favorite Christmas poems. We're going to be talking or possibly ranting a little bit about Happy Holidays versus Merry Christmas. Our fearless host here is going to give you the recipe for a Christmas pudding. And, you know, we're just going to have some fun, enjoy each other's company. And hope you guys really love this. So why don't we just jump right into it with your rendition of The Gift of the Magi.
All right. The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry. $1.87. That was all. And 60 cents of it was in pennies. Pennies saved one and two at a time by bulldozing the grocer and the vegetable man and the butcher until one... cheeks burned with the silent imputation of parsimony that such a close dealing implied. Three times Della counted it, $1.87, and the next day would be Christmas. There was clearly nothing to do but flop down on the shabby little couch and howl, so Della did it, which instigates the moral reflection that life is made up of sobs, snivels, and smiles, with sniffles predominating. While the mistress of the home is gradually subsiding from the first stage to the second, take a look at the home. A furnished flat with $8 per week. It did not exactly beguile description, but it certainly had that word on the lookout for the mendicancy squad. In the vestibule below was a letter box which no letter would go in, and an electric button from which no mortal finger could coax a ring. Also, appertaining thereunto was a card bearing the name Mr. James Dillingham Young. The Dillingham had been flung to the breeze during the former period of prosperity when its possessor was being paid $30 per week. Now, when income had shrunk to $20, though, they were thinking seriously of contracting to a modest and unassuming D. But whenever Mr. James Dillingham Young came home and reached his flat above, he was called Jim. And greatly hugged by Miss James Dillingham Young, also introduced to you as Della, which is all very good. Della finished her cry and attended to her cheeks with a powder rag. She stood by the window and looked out dully at a gray cat walking a gray fence in a gray backyard. Tomorrow would be Christmas Day, and she only had $1.87 with which to buy Jim a present. She had been saving every penny she could find for months, with this result. $20 a week doesn't go far. Expenses had been greater than she had calculated. They always are. Only $1.87 to buy a present for Jim. Her Jim. Many a happy hour had she spent planning for something nice for him. Something fine and rare and sterling. Something just a little bit near to being worthy of the honor of being owned by Jim. There was a pier glass between the window of the room. Perhaps you have seen a pier glass in an $8 flat. A very thin, agile person may, by observing his reflection in rapid sequence of longitudinal stripes, down a fairly accurate conception of his looks. Della, being slendered, had mastered the art. Suddenly she whirled from the window and stood before the glass, her eyes shining brilliantly. Her face had lost its color within 20 seconds. Rapidly she pulled down her hair and let it fall to its full length. Now,
There Were Two Possessions by James Dillingham Young, in which they both took mighty pride. One was Jim's gold watch that had been his father's and his grandfather's. The other's was Della's hair. Had the Queen of Sheba lived in a flat across the air shaft, Della would have let her hung hair, let her her hair hang out the window some to dry just to depreciate Her Majesty's jewels and gifts. Had King Solomon been his the janitor, with all his treasures piled up in the basement, Jim would have pulled out his watch every time he passed, just to see him pluck at his beard from envy. So now Della's beautiful hair fell about her, rippling and shining like a cascade of brown waters. It reached below her knees and made itself almost a garment for her. And then she did it up again nervously and quickly. Once she faltered for a minute and stood still while a tear or two splashed on the worn red carpet. On went her old brown jacket. On went her old brown hat. With a whirl of skirts and a full brilliant sparkle in her eye, she fluttered out the door and down the stairs to the street, where she stopped and the sign read, Men Sofferny, Hair Goods of All Kinds. One flight up, Della ran, collecting herself, panting. Madam, large, too white, chilly, hardly looked the sonfrani. Will you buy my hair? Della asked. I buy hair, said Madam. Take your hat off and let's have a good sight at the looks of it. Down rippled the brown cascade. $20, said Madam, lifting the mass with a practiced hand. Give it to me quick, said Della. Oh, and the next hours tripped on rosy wings. Forget the hashed metaphor. She was ransacked by the stores for Jim's present. She found it at last. It surely had been made for Jim and no one else. There was no other like it in any of the stores. She had turned all of them inside and out. It was a platinum fob chain, simple and chaste in design, properly proclaiming its value by substance alone and not by matricious ornamentations, as all good things should do. It was even worthy of the watch. As soon as she saw it, she knew that it must be Jim's. It was like him, quietness and value. The description applied to both. $21 they took from her for it, and she hurried home with the 87 cents. With that chain on his watch, Jim might be properly anxious about the time in any good company. Grand as the watch was, he sometimes looked at it on the sly on the account of the old leather strap that he used in place of a chain. When Della reached home, her intoxication gave way to a little prudence and reason. She got out her curling irons and lighted the gas and went to work repairing the ravages made by generosity added to love, which is always a tremendous task, dear friends, a mammoth task. Within 40 minutes, her head was covered with tiny, close-laying curls that made her look wonderfully like a truant schoolboy. She looked at her reflection in the mirror long, carefully, critically. If Jim doesn't kill me, she said to herself, before he takes a second look at me, he'll say I look like a Coney Island chorus girl. But what could I do, oh? What could I do with $1.87? At 7 o'clock, coffee was made and the frying pan was on the back of the stove, hot and ready to cook the chops. Jim was never late. Della doubled the fob chain in her hand and sat in the corner of the table near the door that he always entered. Then she heard his step on the stair away down on the first flight, and she turned white for just a moment. She had a habit of saying a little silent prayer about the simplest everyday things, and now she whispered, "Please, God, make him think I am still pretty." The door opened, and Jim stepped in and closed it. He looked thin and very serious. Poor fellow. He was only 22, and to be burdened with a family. He needed a new overcoat, and he was without gloves. Jim stopped inside the door, as immovable as a setter at the scent of quail. His eyes were fixed upon Della, and there was an expression in them that she could not read, and it terrified her. It was not anger, nor surprise, nor disapproval, nor horror, nor any of the sentiments that she had been prepared for. He simply stared at her fixedly with that peculiar expression on his face. Della wriggled off the table and went for him. "Jim, darling," she cried, "don't look at me that way. I had my hair cut off and sold because I couldn't have lived through Christmas without giving you a present. It'll grow out again, and you won't mind. Will you? I just had to do it. My hair grows awfully fast. Say, Merry Christmas, Jim, and let's be happy. You don't know what a beautiful, nice gift I've got for you." "You've cut your hair off?" asked Jim, laboriously, as if he had arrived at that patent fact yet even after the hardest mental labor. "Cut it off and sold it," said Della. "Don't you like me just as well, anyhow? I'm me without my hair, ain't I?" Jim looked about the room curiously. "You say your hair is gone," he said with almost an air of idiocracy. "You needn't look for it, Della," said Della. "I sold it, I tell you, sold and gone too. It's Christmas Eve, boy. Be good to me, for it went for you. Maybe the hairs on my head were numbered," she went on with sudden, serious sweetness, "but nobody could ever count my love for you. Shall I put the chops on, Jim?" Out of the trance, Jim seemed quickly to wake. He enfolded his Della. For 10 seconds, let us regard with discreet scrutiny some inconsequential object in the other direction. $8 a week or $1 million a year. What is the difference? A mathematician or a wit would give you the wrong answer. The Magi brought valuable gifts, but that was not among them. The dark assertion will be illuminated later on. Jim drew a package from his overcoat and threw it upon the table. "Don't make any mistake, Dale," he said, "about me. I don't think there's anything in the way of a haircut or a shave or a shampoo that could make me like my girl any less. But if you'll unwrap that package, you may see why you had me going for a while at first." White fingers and nimble tore at the string and paper, and then an ecstatic scream of joy, and then, alas, a quick feminine change to hysterical tears and wails, necessitating the immediate employment of all the comforting prayers of the Lord of the Flat. For there lay the combs, the set of combs, the side and the back that Della had worshipped long in a Broadway window. Beautiful combs, pure tortoise shell with jeweled rims, just the shade to wear in the beautiful vanished hair. There were expensive combs, she knew, and her heart had simply craved and yearned over them without the least hope for possession, and now they were hers. But the trusses that she could have adorned and coveted the adornments were gone. But she hugged them to her bosom, and at length she was able to look up the dim eyes and smile. "My hair grows so fast, Jim." And then Della leaped up with like a little singed cat and cried, "Oh, oh."
Singed.
Whatever. Jim had not seen his beautiful present. She held it out to him eagerly upon her open palm. The dull, precious metal seemed to flash with a reflection of her bright, ardent spirit. "Isn't it dandy, Jim? I hunted all over town to find it. You'll have to look at it 100 times per day now. Give me your watch. I want to see how it looks on it." Instead of obeying, Jim tumbled down the couch and put his hands under the back of his head and smiled. "Dale," he said, "let's put our Christmas presents away and keep them a while. They're too nice to use just at present. I sold the watch to get the money to buy your combs. And now, suppose you put the chops on." The Magi, as you know, were wise men, wonderfully wise, who brought gifts to the babe in the manger. They invented the art of giving Christmas presents. Being wise, the gifts were no doubt wise ones, possibly bearing the privilege of exchange in case of duplication. And here I have lamely related to you the uneventful chronicle of two foolish children in a flat who most unwisely sacrificed for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that all of those who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Oh, all who give and receive gifts, such as they are wisest, everywhere they are wisest, they are magi. I have always loved that story.
I know, honestly, when I think about it, it gets me a little choked up.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
they sacrificed their most prized possessions to buy an adornment to amplify each other's most prized possession.
It's,
he bought her the finest combs in town for her beautiful hair that she sold to buy him the chain for his watch that he sold to get the combs.
That's, that's true love. Like, you just don't see that often anymore. No. That, you know, the people are just not willing to give up things like that anymore.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. It's like, you know, I have a friend, and the guy she's with hasn't gotten her a Christmas present, I think, ever. So he's never got her a Christmas present. You know, and she was like, well, you know, we're broke, and, you know, we're focusing on the kids. Well, there's always something you can give. If you love someone,
mm-hmm.
you yourself can make a sacrifice. You know, I know the guy's a smoker. Quit smoking for a couple weeks and buy her something. It doesn't have to be expensive.
Yep.
You know? Make that sacrifice for the person you love. If you do. If you don't, obviously you don't buy her anything and you keep smoking.
No, there was a time in my relationship where I didn't have a lot of money to go around. I was out of a job at the point. But every day I'd try to show my darling wife how much I loved her. I'd go out and pick her flowers and get her what little I could. I still to this day sometimes, if I get in the mood, I'll stop on the way home and just pick wildflowers for her.
That's sweet.
It's really the effort that you put into it that shows exactly. the person how much you love them.
Yep.
This is going to be the episode where everybody talks about how much I cried during it.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I'm a sentimental guy.
Yeah.
Sentimental guy. And speaking of sentimentality, it is now my turn. I'm going to... Right there.
Okay.
And I've got a little story that I would like to read. For this show, it's always been one of my favorites, and I've never had a chance to read this to my kids. So, Fiona, Logan, this is a poem that's officially called A Visit from St. Nicholas by Clement Clark Moore, but known to most people as The Night Before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw out the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes did appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment he must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples so merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. It's okay to laugh, Fiona. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, and turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Yay.
Yay.
I read, like, while I was reading, I was like, man, Mike picked a much shorter story. Why did I could have summarized the story that I read in just a few lines. I like the wording and the old British terminologies and stuff, so.
Woman loves man, woman broke. Woman has long, beautiful hair. Man has gold watch, leather strap, also yes. Broke. Woman sells her hair, sells hair, buys watch chain. Man sells watch, buys hair combs. Oh, irony, they love each other.
Yeah.
They are the magi.
They are the magi.
Yeah. Well, it looks short, but you read long, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. And the more time we spend together, the better.
Absolutely. You with your candy cane flavored vodka?
I don't drink while I'm on the show.
Just a blizzum of a blip blop. For those of you still wondering, as of yesterday, I'm 15 months sober, so I'm not partaking of the candy cane vodka.
And he wouldn't even if he was a drinking man still.
Because that's disgusting. I think I took a sip of it when you first got it a couple years ago, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that's the same bottle.
Yeah.
It takes me forever to drink. Yeah, I've still got like a couple of liquor bottles in there that have just been sitting around since that one vacation we took a couple of years back at the hotel. I think that's where I got the rum from. But anyway.
My rum is always gone.
Well, you don't have rum anymore.
No. That's why it's gone.
Alrighty, now I think it's time for us to move on to our main topic / rant of the show.
Yeah, not even like a real topic. It's just a couple of words I want to say that I've noticed a lot of people...
Well, before we get into this, Fiona, Logan, do you want to stick around or do you want to go in there?
Stick around.
You want to stick around? What about you, Logan? Okay, he wants to stick around too. Alrighty, so let's get on into it. You said I wanted to say a couple words about it.
I've noticed a lot of people the last couple years getting really bent out of shape over the phrase "Happy Holidays."
Happy Holidays.
Yeah, I mean, people were like, "It's not Happy Holidays; it's Christmas." You know, put Christ back in Christmas. Like, I'm not really a religious person, but I do celebrate Christmas. And I'm okay with calling it Christmas. I don't want to call it Festivus or anything like that. It's Christmas.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's so named because the holiday is celebrated for Jesus Christ. I'm okay with that. I like the holidays. I like Christmas specifically. Mm-hmm. I see my family, all of them, spend time with them, exchange gifts.
Right.
Hold on. Before we even get into that, every year... For the past several?
Yes.
I've bought you Christmas gifts.
And I you.
Yes. It's sort of a tradition of where I would say I've bought you the best Christmas gifts over the past 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah, you get me some pretty good stuff.
It's sort of over the top. I got you a signed DVD by your favorite director.
Yeah, a signed copy of... Red State, signed by Kevin Smith.
Yes, I referred to it the entire year because I figured it out early that it was the one gift to rule them all and hyped it up way above everything.
And no, you didn't.
Huh?
No, you didn't hype it up big enough. I still after all that, was not expecting to have Kevin Smith's audio.
Yeah.
I mean, he touched that DVD when he signed it.
Yeah. Last year, a year before, I bought you and your wife hammocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was I think that was the next year after the one gift to rule.
What did I get you last year?
I don't remember. Must not have left much of an impression.
Oof. Was it not hammocks last year?
No, hammocks was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Wait, how long has Red State been out?
Couple years. Well, maybe it was last year.
Anyway, this year, what did I get you? Because we exchanged gifts earlier when I got here to do this episode. Right,
yeah, we exchanged gifts. I wanted to exchange gifts live on the show, but Mr. Childish here couldn't wait. And I'm kind of
I wanted to see your face when you opened the okay gift I got you this year, the mediocre gift.
He got me a tri-level three-dimensional chess set.
That you've wanted since you saw it on Star Trek how many years ago?
Star Trek The Next Generations when they introduced it. And
you were a teenager.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We played. Mike beat me. I had him going for a second there. Every move was a check. And then I made a blunderhead move and lost the game.
Yeah, he really did.
I just... Playing three-dimensional chess is a little difficult. Trying to keep up with the moves. We were playing the game wrong. Regardless, though, we had a fun time.
Yeah, we did. And I also got you a gift. Actually, mine was a three-part gift to you.
Which I'm currently enjoying part of the gift as we speak.
Right, yeah, I got you some wool socks, which you're out there saying, what? You got him socks for Christmas? He wanted them.
I actually did. Wool socks are kind of not expensive, but they're not cheap like normal socks. You know, what, $5 to $7 for a pair or so?
Mm-hmm.
I prefer wool socks. They're warm. I wanted wool socks. I was hoping more people would get me wool socks. So,
yep.
My feet were cold, so I put them on already. I'm wearing a pair. I'm actually wearing two pairs of wool socks right now. And you bought me.
I got him post-apocalyptic money.
Yeah, he got me a box of, I want to say this is 50. 50 rounds of 223, 55 grain, full metal jacket, brass case, non-corrosive boxer primer.
And I got you a box of 50 9mm Luger rounds.
Right, which we will probably shoot together.
Yeah, it was all stuff that was on your Christmas list, so I just walked around. I'm like, yep, okay, that's our spending limit.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of imposed a spending limit after I spent $200 on hammocks for you and your wife.
Yeah. But I always try to get you a bunch of, like, survival stuff.
Yeah, which is pretty much can't go wrong. I think last year I started actually putting out Christmas lists of stuff that I do want, because for some reason people never know what to get me. Because I buy everything for myself, but I leave out the cheap stuff. My wool socks will have holes on them, falling apart, and I'm like, I can't get that. But there's a $100 banjo. Hell yeah! So.
Have you learned how to play the banjo yet?
No, not so much so. I haven't had a lot of time, but I've played with it, and I enjoyed it.
Most men do.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see, I got my kids a bunch of stuff.
We can't talk about that.
Yeah, we can't talk about it. I got my wife a bunch of stuff. One of her gifts she got early
ink
anniversary present. I decided to make it her anniversary. I just couldn't wait to give it to her. I got her a $250 gift certificate for a tattoo parlor. And she used that damn thing so quick.
Three days after?
Yeah, I'm surprised she waited that long, to be honest.
It's already healed.
Yeah. Yeah, she got a beautiful tattoo of three owls with the night sky and the moon behind her, on her shoulder there. Oh. Yes, I'm just savoring the moment.
Yeah. So, happy holidays. A lot of people are bitching about it. They're, you know, like, I've seen people get angry if you wish them happy holidays. Which, to me, growing up, they're always interchangeable. All throughout, until recently, if I said happy holidays, I meant for you to have a good, Thanksgiving all the way to New Year's. And even the whole season,
it's the holiday season. It's the holiday season, starting with Thanksgiving, yeah. Moving on through.
Yeah, but if I say happy holidays, and to me they're interchangeable, I'll say either Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever one pops in my head, doesn't matter to me. I don't have a preference. by saying happy holidays doesn't mean I think that your religious beliefs are bad. It doesn't mean anything. It just means when I say happy holidays, I am wishing you goodwill. I want you to have happy holidays. I want you to get good gifts. I want you to get, you know, love from your family. I want this time to be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, no, fuck you. It's Christmas. Well, fuck you too. I have no tolerance for that.
It's not just Christmas, though. Like, right now, we're smack dab in the middle of Hanukkah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all the other holidays, too. But I'm just saying, why are people such dicks?
It's just a nice way of covering the bases. But people believe that when you're saying happy holidays, you're just trying to be politically correct.
Which I hate anyway.
So not to offend somebody by saying Merry Christmas. And you're denying Christmas and all that. You're not denying Christmas. You're just wishing all of your fellow men the best at this time of year.
Yeah. And people are just, they're just angry pricks. And that's all I can really say. There's angry pricks.
And for those of you out there that say happy holidays just because, you know, you're trying to get around with, oh, I want people to be good, but I don't want to offend the religion. Keep in mind, the root for holiday is holy day.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost the same as if I was to say, have a good day, and you'd be like, fuck off. Excuse me? I want you to have a good day, and you want me to go do what with myself and where? You're a horrible, horrible person. Horrible.
And just for the record, my children have heard worse language at school, so...
So, I mean, I guess that's all I really have to say. I'm going to leave this rant short. This episode's going to be a short episode.
That's not all I have to say, though.
Yeah?
No, I got a little rant myself.
We'll go right ahead.
It's about the whole thing about people having a problem with the term Xmas. You know, X-M-A-S, Xmas. They're always like, you can't do that. You got to put Christ back in Christmas. Guess what? It was actually Xmas first. It was actually Xmas first. The X is the traditional Christian symbol from hundreds of years ago for the crucifix. The X literally means Christ. The only reason they changed it to the full spelling was because people kept calling it Xmas instead of Christmas.
Yeah.
It was just to clarify. So, yeah, Christ was always there. He just had, you know, he was a symbol like Prince for a while. But yeah, it's there. So that's all I have to say about it.
Okay.
Sorry, I just had to get that off my chest. And now it is time for our very special Christmas nutrition punk.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're going to be bringing in the figgy pudding or whatever the hell it was.
Oh, shh.
What?
My phone was butt calling. It does that.
You called a lady.
Yes.
I heard her screaming.
No. So
get me out of your trunk.
I've been on this Christmas pudding kick. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've noticed. You've been on a Christmas pudding kick.
Yeah. From watching the British BBC The Farm series, every Christmas season they made a Christmas pudding, because all throughout history people ate puddings every day for everything. That was a Tuesday pudding. Please, may I still have a piece of your Tuesday pudding? Oh, it's Wednesday. You could have Tuesday pudding on Wednesday.
And pudding means so many different things to the British.
Yes, pudding is like a universal catch-all term for a food.
Like,
I have a food in the oven. Oh, you mean a pudding? Oh, yeah, I have a pudding in the oven.
Like black pudding. It's blood sausage.
Yeah.
How do you translate sausage into pudding?
I actually want blood pudding. Pudding made with blood. I do. I kind of want some. Blue. Anyway, yeah, I'm weird, though. I like weird things.
What is for dessert?
So, I've decided to make a Christmas paleo pudding for Christmas this year.
Oh, really?
I looked up a recipe. We'll jump right into, let's see, blah, 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 blah. This comes from the girls at northwestcavegirls.com.
Northwest Cave Girls?
It is ho, ho, ho paleo Christmas pudding.
You know, if I was a bunch of girls giving out recipes, I wouldn't start it with ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Annoyingly, and I was just talking about this earlier, this recipe comes in the metric system, which I was talking to Mike. If I ever have kids, I'll teach them the metric system and not we're imperial system. What are we, American?
Oh, we're the right system.
Wrong. So the ingredients are 1,000 grams of mixed fruit.
Trader Joe's Being Cherries, Trader Joe's Jumbo Raisin Medley, Whole Bag, Trader Joe's Organic Thompson Seedless Raisins, Trader Joe's Diced Cranberries, Fortified with Cranberry Seed Oil.
Basically anything from Trader Joe's, apparently.
Yes. Two apples peeled and chopped small. One orange zest and juice. 150 milliliters of brandy. Optional, but highly recommended.
Not for you, my friend.
Winky face. You know what? I was talking to your wife about this earlier. I would not have a problem cooking with the brandy, because when you cook with it, you'll burn off the alcohol. But whatever you cook with brandy, you must buy two bottles. One for yourself and one for the pudding. That's my problem with the recipe.
Yeah.
Six free-range organic eggs.
Preferably laid by Trader Joe himself.
Oh, yeah, no. 250 grams palm shortening, frozen before grating. Interesting, palm shortening. 350 grams pure maple syrup. 175 grams of almond flour meal. 1 tablespoon coconut flour. New addition, see outcome below. 1 tablespoon baking soda. 1 tablespoon allspice. 1 tablespoon cinnamon.
And 1 handful of chopped prunes.
And a partridge in a pear tree. Directions, you need 2 by 2 pound pudding case, or 4 by 1 pound ones. Greaseproof paper, a big saucepan, coconut oil, and a pastry brush. Mix together apples, oranges, juice, zest, grated palm shortening. I began hand grating and then decided to shred it in my food processor. Probably a smart idea. Beaten eggs, maple syrup in a large bowl. Add the flour, baking soda, dried fruit, and spices. Stir all together, adding the brandy at this point. A blizzum for the pudding and a blizzum for you. Divide the pudding into bowls, leaving about 1 inch on the top in the 1 pound and about 2 inches in the 2 pound, just so they can rise a bit. Rise a blade. Place on the top of the mixture an oiled piece of greaseproof. Make it bigger than the top. Then place the lid on and seal it down. Place puddings into pan. Then add water. Bain Marie. It's 1 inch from the top of the pudding. Bring it to a boil. Simmer for 6 hours.
6 hours?
6 hours.
No wonder this is a holiday recipe. It's slower than Christmas.
Yes. Adding more... Christmas is so fast this year. Adding more hot water every 20 minutes or so. For 6 hours.
My God.
That's 3 times an hour.
That is a lot of cooking for a pudding.
So you must keep your eye on it. Gee, mini crickets. Put your kitchen back together again. When cooked, leave to cool. I wish recipes were written by scientists. When it says, leave to cool to 74 degrees. Not cook until done. What? Leave to cool. Cool to what temperature? Wipe off any excess fat from the case, if it does happen sometimes. Rewrap with greaseproof paper and foil. Make a little hand grip with the foil, because you need to simmer it again on the days it's to be eaten for about 30 minutes to serve hot. You've got to cook it again? So 6.5 hours.
Oh my God. You picked a winner.
Yeah. Please be careful at times to remove the pudding with hot water. It looks tasty. I mean, I want to eat that. You guys at home can't see that, but when you click on the link, you can. So, that's my Christmas pudding recipe. I will try and let you know beginning of the year, which the next podcast in January will probably be my birthday. Hmm.
And I've got a special thing I want to do on the show, if you don't mind.
Huh?
I've got a special thing I want to do on the show, if you don't mind.
I said, huh?
Oh, okay. Well, I've got, like, a special thing.
That no, screw your special thing. No, it's my show.
I'm doing a special thing, damn it. Okay. I've got a special dedication that's going out to a very special lady in the audience. Or on the cast. Or crew of the show. So I kind of want to hit that button right there and this button right here. I don't want a lot for Christmas. There's just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you. Thank you. I won't ask for much this Christmas. I won't even wish for snow. I'm just gonna keep on waiting underneath the mistletoe. There's no sense in hanging stockings there upon the fireplace, 'cause Santa won't make me happy with a toy on Christmas Day. I just want you here tonight, holding on to me so tight. Girl, what can I do? You know that all I want for Christmas is you. And all the lights are shining so brightly everywhere, and the sounds of children's laughter everywhere, and everyone is singing. I can hear those sleigh bells ringing. Santa, won't you bring me the one I really love? Won't you please bring my baby to me? Yeah, I got behind. I don't want a lot for Christmas. This is all I'm asking for. No, I just want to see my baby standing right outside my door. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. Know that all I want for Christmas is you. Yes, all I want for Christmas is producer Mike's wife.
No, I want you. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, I got a little sappy there for a second. I love my wife.
Aw.
Yes. I wasn't singing to James. I just want people to know out there, I wasn't singing to James. I sing a different song to him.
Yes. He sings me the song of his people at 3 a.m.
Alrighty, well. Oh, yeah, it's time for my celebrity invite.
Celebrity invite, eh?
Yeah, I'm doing a celebrity invite. And this very special holiday special, I'm inviting somebody that my people, the German people, have known for centuries. His special day is on my birthday, December the 5th, every year. I'm inviting Krampus onto the show.
Ooh, Krampus.
Yes, Krampus, the Christmas devil.
Yes.
Yes, see, there's Christmas Claus. See, I'm explaining this to my daughter now. See, there is Santa Claus, who brings the good little boys toys and gifts and stuff like that. And then there's Krampus. Krampus is a hairy guy with horns, and he brings you switches and coal and dog poop, and he puts it in your stocking and in your pillow and under your bed.
And if you're really bad, he'll put you in his sack that he carries around, hit you with his stick, and throw you in the river. If you're really bad.
But my daughter has nothing to worry about there.
No.
No, she is a little angel. But, you know, I've got a great idea for a gift.
Huh.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. All year round. A membership.
To the Svelopunk Army?
Yes!
Where you discount to 11 vendors?
11 vendors out there! Anywhere from 10 to 20%. You also get exclusive content. You get our show in handy little zip files of 10 episode bundles. What else do you get?
You get ebooks from two great authors. You get exclusive content if we ever get any up.
Stay tuned. We Are Humans. Stay tuned for our Rock City special edition pod that we've been trying to do for months.
Yeah. Good stuff from us in the Royal Punk Army. It would be a good Christmas present. That's all for the commercials there. We're not going to run long on that.
No. But we do want to wish a very special Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to the great people over at wellfoodco.com. The wonderful people keeping us supplied with ammunition over at freedommunitions.com. The wonderful people over at campingsurvival.com. Merry Christmas. I'm not sure if they even celebrated it over in Thailand, but happy holidays to all those over at Mai Tai's Exotic Asian Coffee, and a very special silver and gold Christmas to the good folks over at jmbullion.com. all of our sponsors. We thank you for standing by us throughout this year. And we have really enjoyed sending people your way. And we just want to wish all the hardworking folks at all those stores and websites a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Mighty Festivus, Ramadan, Don Don, and all their good stuff over there. Happy holidays to all you guys. And, you know, it's actually time to wrap up. I mean, is there anybody out there you want to say Merry Christmas to?
I want to say Merry Christmas to you, your family. Merry Christmas to my mom, my brothers. Merry Christmas to Dave, my co-conspirator on the Dual Homestead Project.
Mm-hmm.
Special Merry Christmas to Smitty, who's helped me build the tiny house to where it's at. Couldn't have done it without him. Through the cold, through the rain, through the nastiness out there, which I'll be moving in pretty soon. It's almost finished. The water's almost done. The flooring's almost done in the living room. So, Merry Christmas to every one of you that are listening to this, because you're all very important to me. And that's it.
Producer Mike's wife, do you want to say Merry Christmas to anybody out there?
Just to the Swyatt family and to all the other listeners on my end. And to my mom and dad.
And do my kids want to say Merry Christmas? Logan already snuck out, but Fiona, do you want to say Merry Christmas to anybody?
If they watch or they hear this, I wish that Mackenzie Weimer, my friend, Merry Christmas, and all the people that's watching this, Merry Christmas.
Aww. And I want to say Merry Christmas to my beautiful daughter. I want to say Merry Christmas to my son. I want to say Merry Christmas to my gorgeous wife. I want to say Merry Christmas to my very best friend in the world, and my cohort. Co-host. I want to say Merry Christmas to my other friends out there, Todd and his crazy, wonderful family. And even the Harmon family, Merry Christmas to you guys. I doubt you'll ever listen. I want to say Merry Christmas to Jason over at Area 51 Tech Solutions. To all my friends and family, my mom, my dad, his wife, her husband, my sister. Even to my lousy, no good, worthless brother, Merry Christmas. Hope you actually make something out of your life. Come in, son. Logan, do you want to say Merry Christmas to anybody? Of course you don't. All right, mama's boy, go be quiet.
Okay.
What do you want? My daughter's wanting to sing a Christmas song.
Okay.
You can sing to us after.
What do you want to sing? I know what you want to sing. You want to sing the 12 Days of Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's her favorite song, period.
Yeah.
Wow.
And sometimes I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that one's a good one, too.
Okay, so, well, okay, fine. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring, and more lyrics there. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. Yes, I know, I'm horrible. So,
and on that bombshell.
So to all of our loyal listeners that have been with us from the beginning, all of those for who this might be your first episode, because in the great words of Stan Lee, every comic could be somebody's first comic, and every podcast could be somebody's first podcast. But to all of our loyal listeners, all the Survival Punk Army members, all of the people out there, all of our sponsors, all of our friends, family, I want to wish you a merry, very Merry Christmas from me, Couch Potato Mike.
The Survival Punk James.
And just let you know, no matter how rich or poor you are, if you ain't got love, you ain't got nothing.
Happy holidays to survive.